It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Tell me what you're doing here.
Let's flip a coin. Heads, I tell you, tails, we go out on a date.
Warning, Otaku contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
It's over 9,000!
What is up, everybody out there on planet coronavirus, or as we used to call it, planet Earth? Yes, we are back with another amazing episode of Otaku. I am your host, Gregory Darkside Holmes, joined in the studio today by my good friend and Filipino brother, David Sabal.
Ohio!
And also joining us as well is the ever captain of this crazy fucking ship, Mike Flores. So, we've been away for a bit, and there's a lot has been going on. Yes, we are going to talk a little bit about the coronavirus, because what else news is there besides being told to be, injecting disinfectant into yourself to combat the virus? Or just, blowing your brains out and not even bother getting it. So everybody's seen the news on Facebook, on all the, pop culture nerd platforms, especially now even on Anime News Network. Anime Expo 2020 has been canceled due to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
This announcement came shortly, I believe, before or after San Diego Comic-Con decided to cancel their convention as well. So right now we're looking at Anime Expo 2020 is now being moved to Anime Expo 2021.
2021, yeah.
So would it be 2020 then, or would it just be 2021?
So the way that they've stated is that anybody that has a ticket for 2020 can, I believe they're working way to, for you to roll it over, or you can get a refund depending on what you want to do. I believe most fans are just going to roll their tickets over to 2021.
And this clears up everybody's schedule con-wise, if I'm not correct, because those were the two big ones that everyone was wondering, are they going to continue?
Well, everybody was wondering about San Diego Comic-Con, and that's kind of, that was kind of the big one. So if that one went under, then you knew everything else was kind of going to start going under.
Just follow suit.
I think we should not tell the furry con that there's a coronavirus, and we should just get them all in there, and that's when we can finally get rid of them.
Nonsense.
That's
a little much.
You can have a yiff party at that point.
Oh, Jesus. But
Craig's all like, I have furry friends.
I actually do.
I know.
What's funny is that I didn't know that they were furries until they came up to me at a con and gave me a hug. And my first reaction was like, what the fuck?
And it's one of those things that, it's like the skeleton in the closet thing.
Well, no. And then they take off their head, their animal head. And they're like, hey, Greg, it's me. And I'm like, why didn't you fucking say something to me when you walked up? Because I literally thought I would just have to be like this awkward hug moment with some random person in a furry suit.
Did they like go up to you by sniffing your butt?
No, they didn't.
So I shouldn't break out my old furry costume and basically do that to you at a convention.
David. So the shit that I have learned about you during our friendship, I never want to see you in a furry outfit. I never want to hear about it. I don't ever want to think about the other shit that you've told me that I really don't know why I am now privy to.
David isn't a furry.
The way he's looking and he's fucking
David,
silent.
I hate you, Dave. Hey, Dave, do you see the studio door right there? Never come back.
As I said,
don't
when
pet
I was
my
younger,
dog. Don't even look at my dog.
When I was younger, I experimented with a lot of things.
David, so
how do you people experiment with drugs and sexual sex?
Yes.
Drugs and sex.
But there's more things to experience, Mike.
So
you experiment with like piracy and furries.
All right. So I'm going to move this boat right along past this. So again, we have Anime Expo that is canceled due to the coronavirus, which really sucks because they had a lot of stuff planned, which now makes me kind of wonder if they're going to move those plans forward to 2021 or if they're going to kind of change them to make it fresh so that people are like, oh, yeah, I remember they're going to have those guests, last year. But then the coronavirus happened and then it was like, oh, sweet. So like it's going to be, coronavirus remembrance if like they do the same shit they're going to plan to do this year.
But do you think that basically it's better if they actually just, you know, start from scratch, just do something completely?
Yeah. That's things that you don't, anything that, everybody's like, oh, like they're doing this. Like, oh, cool. I wanted to see this guest really bad. I'm not saying they shouldn't bring those guests back out still, but I'm saying they should also put out new stuff as well. And it's not to be like, here's Anime Expo 2021, which was supposed to be Anime Expo 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
are they doing that? They're actually trying to hold over guests for the.
It much like with Phoenix Fan Fusion that I do work for as well. Mm-hmm. For those listeners, I do run the anime department for Phoenix Fan Fusion, which was Phoenix Fan Fest, which was Phoenix Comic Con.
Yes.
With guests, it really depends on their schedule at that point. With guests for like Anime Expo, since they're voice actors and Anime Expo brings over a lot of guests from Japan. It really depends on their schedule. Really depends on
what about the temperature though of the market. Like, let's say there's a certain guest because whatever they were working on at this time is really hot, so it makes sense to bring them on as a guest. But what if, hey, a year later, their work isn't as
so. That's kind of been the thing with like recent anime, especially with for example, use My Hero Academia and Demon Slayer. I'll just use the American one. The American translation for the show, or it's a Yoketsu no Yaiba, I think it is the Japanese.
Yes.
Those shows are still immensely popular. Any guests they get for those shows are always going to be big.
That's the thing,
especially
about anime.
And especially next year is the second story arc for Demon Slayer is coming out.
Yeah.
As a cinematic feature. So the whole story arc, the whole Demon Train arc, which is what it's called, is going to be all completely done in a film. And then then you can see like the second season or, the third story arc will come out, as an episode, as like a TV show.
Yeah.
Next year too, you have also the return of Bleach, which they're finally going to do the, 100-year,
anniversary.
The hundred year war. Or blood war. So that'll be really, really cool to see. So those things like will carry over, because there's a lot of shows that have, I don't say a cult following, but they're a diehard fandom. That's why when you go to conventions, even though, Naruto itself is no longer, making episodes, like, there's only Baruto,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm going to be honest. I thought Baruto was a joke. I thought somebody made it up.
You and me both.
But you'll always see people dressed as those characters because they love those characters. Like you'll still see people dressed up as the guy with the giant sword, Zabuza, was that his name from Naruto?
Yes.
You'll see people so dressed up as him. You'll still see people dressed up as, Gaara of the Sands, or, his younger version. So that stuff will carry over because the fandoms still carry it.
Yeah. Anime has been one of those ones that, regardless of like time, I noticed that basically if the anime connects with the fan base, it's pretty timeless. I mean, you have like fans still clamoring for like series that were back in my day, like Ranma 1/2 or Ryono Kenshin. I still see people cosplay Kenshin, which is amazing.
Funimation just put Kenshin back on their streaming platform.
Yeah. Anime's been one of those ones that basically, it doesn't matter how old the anime is.
If people find it, there's still that fandom and they're still support it. So
going back to my first question, it really doesn't matter because anime stays hip year
round.
Yeah,
year after year.
It's always going.
But whatever's hot now will probably be just as hot. Well,
you got to look at One Piece. I mean, that train's still going. God, that's like hundreds of episodes in. So, but besides Anime Expo, other conventions that have been affected have been Anime North, Fanime, Japan Expo, Anime Next, Comiket 98. Comiket 98 is a huge one because that's usually where a lot of figures and stuff are shown off. Anime Japan, a whole host of conventions have been canceled due to this, which makes everybody wonder what'll happen, especially conventions that happen around this time in Japan, especially since they've moved the Olympics back to 2021.
Yeah.
How that'll affect, the convention
circuit
schedule for that, that time of year during that time.
I think they should put all these conventions, instead of canceling them, they should just move them to Russia or North Korea, because those two locations, those two countries are the only countries that aren't suffering from coronavirus.
Apparently.
That we know of.
According to them. And they're propaganda ministers. Like, they don't have any coronavirus. I figured, let me just move everything over there. Business as usual, right?
I don't know. I don't think it'd be that easy. Oh.
Hey, just trying to make a fix here.
Hey, you know, that's, hey, you know, it's a thinking. So,
either that or we just keep the conventions and just spray everyone down with Lysol directly into their pie holes as they walk in. And then also,
oh, Jesus.
And anuses.
Wow.
That Jesus. Might be kind of fun.
No, that's God.
Come here, treat you like a Pez dispenser.
Oh, fuck.
Lysol goes up your ass and out your mouth.
Oh, man. But again, along with that show, a lot of shows have been affected as well. One Piece has been put on hold.
Yes.
The Digimon Adventure, which has been, I haven't watched it yet. So I'm unsure if it's a re-release of the original show or if it's I don't want to say a redo, but like a retelling.
Seems like it's a retelling just from what I've seen.
That's been put on hold. Pokemon has been put on hold. It's another big one. Baruto, again, Naruto's son. A lot of second seasons, third seasons have been put on hold because of this. A lot of Crunchyroll has, Crunchyroll, I believe Funimation will have put a hold on their simuldubs. So they'll still release everything, I believe, and do subbing, but the dubbing that they usually do along with that at the same time is going to be put on hold to lessen, you know, people traveling and being in large groups to do
and
that.
And basically like studio and travel time, if I'm not correct.
Yeah. And then two, let's see, Fate Stay Night, another big, you know, fan favorite that has a huge, huge cult following. Their third movie, Heaven's Feel Spring Song, is being delayed. Along with, and I'm really fucking pissed off about this, Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0 is now being delayed.
Wait, I didn't know there's another one? There's new ones?
Yeah, so Evangelion years ago, they started doing Evangelion 1.0.
1.0,
You Are Not Alone, 2.0, You Cannot Advance.
Right.
And basically what they did is they took the original series and basically condensed them to movies that have updated
animation,
and they changed some of the story. Which I don't mind. I like the story that they did. And actually, what's really cool, for those that don't know, until I believe April, until the end of the month, or I believe until mid May, you can watch the first three films, the first three new Evangelion films on YouTube for free.
And I'll be honest,
but these are new stories.
So they are and they aren't. So there's some stuff that they changed from the original TV series, and there's some stuff they've kept the same.
Because what they did
was new animation or just
new
changing?
Animation.
New animation, and it's I would say an updated story.
It's an updated story because you get like in the first movie.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
They stay true to what happened in the series, but then by the second one, they do a left turn and change the story completely. And I've been known to actually be one of the very few people who hates Evangelion. And I got to see 1.0 and 2.0, and I actually loved those two movies.
You're a savage.
Yes.
For saying you hate it, I'm wondering if these 1.2.0 are even good. About you, Greg? Because you and I both liked Evangelion.
In fact, we
reviewed it.
We did. And I would actually recommend watching these films if you like the show.
Really? It doesn't destroy it?
No. The thing that I like about it is that it takes a lot of the old, there's an article we're going to talk about later in the show, but talking about how the episodes of the original series, I don't want to say there's a lot of filler, but there is a lot of episodes like where it really went into kind of the mental and psychological effects of like what the children were experiencing.
Yeah.
And the movies kind of take that and they condense it. You still get the same feeling, but they condense it. And I almost want to say it's a bit of a smoother storytelling.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to go from episode to episode. It's all kind of a fluid,
the narrative ride is much more fluid. And so, that's what I really appreciated about the two movies.
Interesting.
The writing was just like, wow, this is really fluid. It doesn't come to a screeching halt to me, because I understand that Evangelion's it's a Hallmark classic. I'm sorry.
It's one of those shows where growing up with
you anime, have to appreciate.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that when it came out, you're like, if you saw it, you're like, I want to know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really sad that that's been delayed, because I've been waiting. I think everybody that's been watched that's seen the previous films have been waiting for it, and they've done teasers and promo videos left and right, and you're like, fuck, just release the goddamn film already. And then actually, so speaking of Hallmark classic anime shows, the live action Cowboy Bebop has also been put on hold.
Yeah.
And then also the Ultraman Taiga New Gene Climax live action show is also on hold as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything's gonna be on hold.
Yeah, everything's on hold. These are just some more of the notable ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the lists are huge, so I'm not gonna go over everything.
I was actually bummed about the Cowboy Bebop, because I've been nervous about that for a while now.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sold on the cast.
Well, because it's been in production hell for how long?
Well, originally it was talked about as a movie, that they were going to do it as a movie, and then it was always teased that Keanu Reeves was going to be Spike.
Yeah. Which would have been cool.
Which everybody like was like, I don't know, because back when it was announced, really everybody only knew him as, you know, from Bill and Ted. They only knew him as
the younger generation.
You know, and Neo. Yeah. But then when he did John Wick, everybody's like, oh, fuck, that'd be really rad. And then when they announced the cast, then everybody's like, oh, I don't know. But it's one of those things where now we don't know, because there hasn't been much press for it, because it's now on hold. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is weird, because it's going to be a Netflix original, right?
Yeah. So whenever they restart everything, I'm sure they'll start a promotional campaign. But
what's going to be amazing is next year, because while they're postponing everything, you got to expect that the following year is going to be huge for anime, because all the titles are going to just be starting to be announced, and then you have to deal with the titles that were postponed. It's going to be a flood of stuff coming out the following year.
Well, I've got to think that there are things that are also being pushed out because of the coronavirus epidemic, meaning episodes, series that might have been scheduled to be released, let's say in June, July, August, September, but for the most part have been sitting in the can finished for quite some time. And now we're getting those early, because I know a lot of other American television studios and production houses have done that with various shows that they had planned. Many studios are releasing things early, trying to give people something to do.
Yeah.
To watch.
So, and then, you know, and then 3.0, which is 3.0 plus 1.0, which is called Thrice Upon a Time.
Oh,
you know, so hopefully it'll be out next year. So
I might check those out. At first it sounded like a horrible thing, but if you're telling me it's a fresh take on it
and
there's new animation. I thought you were saying they're doing like a Macross thing where they take.
No, it's not where they take and rename and they slap a fresh coat of paint on. No, it's completely new animation. It's actually I like it a lot. It reinforces how much I love Asuka.
She's one of the characters that really comes out.
Is there any weird
if there's ever been a chicken on eye patch that I would fuck, it is her.
So is there any like weird coming of age moments where it's very awkward for the young boy that is in the tub and the bathroom next to him?
You're gonna have to watch it.
Because,
those are great moments. I like that.
Yeah, it's a really weird moment. So kind of romantic, but also really weird. So found this as I was going through the news updates and just kind of seeing what's been going on, sifting through all the COVID-19, CoronaCon 2020 news updates. And this I thought was kind of interesting. So One Punch Man. Which I would like to kind of, I kind of always compared it to like, this is like Goku on crack.
it is.
So One Punch Man reportedly gets live action Hollywood film from Venom and Jumanji writers.
Yes.
Which now this makes sense, because somebody posted an image of The Rock and Kevin Hart photoshopped to look like Saitama. And what's the robot character's name? And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, okay, haha, funny. And then I saw this, I'm like, oh, this makes a lot of sense.
I have a question for you, Craig.
Yeah.
Okay. One Punch Man. Is that a comedy?
It is.
It's an action comedy. Like, it's not a straight up comedy because there are some serious moments, but
there are. But I mean, overall premise is absolute comedy gold.
Yeah, because Saitama is, so basically if you take any superhero and you just overpower, like you just make them super overpowered to the point where you're just like, well,
he gets bored.
Yeah, he gets bored because he does not get a good fight out of anybody. So basically that's why I say it's like Goku on crack, because Goku always gets a good fight out of somebody and he has to train, get stronger, come back, and then he wins. With Saitama just beats them. There's no build up battle. He just literally goes up and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to get my fight." And then he hits them and they're dead. And he's like, "Well, shit."
The question in the narrative that the reason why I love One Punch Man, because it tells the superhero story like what we see in comics and turns it on its head, is like, just like what Greg was alluding to, you get so powerful. Well, if you're the most powerful person in the world, you're going to live a boring life. And that's the whole thing about why it's a satire and it's a dark comedy, because like Saitama throughout the entire series is like going, I got to do something to keep my sanity. He loses his mind because he tries to coupon cut, and he gets so obsessed about it that he kills a guy. He kills a villain because the villain like stops him from using a coupon that's at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I loved One Punch Man because it you'd think that basically, oh, it's going to be like shitting all over like comic books and everything. But no, the narrative is actually really cool.
Well, yeah, because he starts off, he's like, I want to be a superhero. You know, and then what's even funnier is that you have to test to be a superhero. You have to go through and you have to get your license. And he goes through and he just beats everybody. His record, his time is like, you know, all of his tests and everything that they put him through. He's the top guy. He's this and that. And they're like, what the fuck?
And it gets to the point where he wants to test the other heroes, but they don't want to test it because he's going to kill them by accident.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I thought the Jumanji films were fun. I didn't think Venom was as bad as a lot of people thought it was.
No, neither did I.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
It's just totally different styles.
Yeah,
that's where I was going, because I enjoyed Venom for what it was, and I enjoyed the Jumanji movies. They were funny, but that's a weird combo.
It's a weird move. And the thing is, so you know, it's set to be produced by Arad Productions, which is known for all the Spider-Man films and the Ghost in the Shell adaptation that was done for Sony Pictures. And apparently Sony's very keen on One Punch Man, seeing that it might have franchise potential.
I just hope that
they're going to cast Scarlett Johansson as One Punch Man. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, that's the thing, is that there's nobody that you can think of that could play Saitama. And I mean, every other character you can kind of look at, okay, I can kind of see this actor or that actor playing it, because every other character is fleshed out, but there's more detail to their look. Saitama's face is, it's bald and it's a very basic eyes, nose, and mouth. It's a very, you know, basic anime look, like, you know, super, no detail, nothing at all. And it's just, who are they going to get that can, I don't like to say that, you know, that has that plain type of face, but who are they going to get that's going to at least look closely to it?
It could be cosmetics involved as well, though, or visual effects of some type.
Not just look of Saitama, but also the thing I'm just worried about, One Punch Man is a character breakdown. I hope that they that whatever they do, they understand what the theme of One Punch Man is. Because it's very easy to kind of look at One Punch Man, like, say, for example, if you've never seen the series, I've always seen people that haven't seen it before and they tell me about it and they think like it's something completely different.
Well, and that's the thing, is that that's so when I read this and I saw it, I was like, okay. And then I'm like, well, I go, Ghost in the Shell adaptation was for me, and I'll argue this till the day I die, was actually a really spot on adaptation of the Ghost in the Shell franchise.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
You're in a room that basically agrees with that.
So seeing that they did that, you know, they took the Shiro, you know, base
imagery
material, and they're able to take that to live action.
Yeah.
and do it successfully. So I'm not worried. I'm not as worried as I would be about this, about Arad Productions doing a One Punch Man, but it's like what you said, David, is are they going to look at the material and understand it? Are they going to, you know, take it?
That's always key.
You know, that's, and that's the thing is that
you understand the source material, right? I mean, that's something we always talk about on this network. You know what? It doesn't even need to be a perfect adaptation in terms of page and word for word.
But as long as they understand the material.
Yes.
Because if they don't, then you really run into the dangers of having another Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh. Or Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, you know, I forgot about that Dragon Ball film. God damn it, David. That's
the Airbender was worse.
Yeah, well, because and
that's even, like a 1% on the R&B score.
Yeah, and that's like I think that's like a -100 on the R&B score, because like M. Night Shyamalan had a chance to be like to redeem himself.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But he's like, I get the story. Cool. I'm going to do my own thing.
I'm going to do my own thing.
Dude, it's just.
I'm just like, no, you don't. Like, you're like, with that, you're like, he dealt with a fan base that was extremely vocal with how he did it.
Yeah.
And with anime fans in general, they're very vocal. There'll be some that'd be like, you know what? I didn't think it was that bad. And they're the fucking weeboos that don't, you know, that probably haven't seen One Punch Man and they're like, oh, it's playing with me.
It wasn't just a bad adaptation. It was a bad movie.
Oh, no, it was a fucking horrible film. I felt bad for the kid that played Aang because he was like a martial arts champion. And like, that's why they picked him. I'm like, that's cool. They got somebody that can actually do
and now
martial
he's trash. Arts. He's and, probably living, you know, on the streets of Japan. Poor kid.
You know, now he's just like, well, I used to do martial arts and now I can't even go back to my dojo.
And now I beg for cash and supper. Please, sir, give me food.
We'll airbend for food.
But that's the one thing that, unfortunately, like video games, anime adaptations, sometimes
it's so difficult.
It's very difficult because I never understood it, but actually recently a friend of mine who's a writer actually explained it. It's a cultural thing, because if you think about it, anime is written for a different type of culture than us. And when it transitions over here into the States, into Hollywood, they take that and they say, well, that's not going to work for us because.
Well, because they have to look at bringing people in that don't know the material, exactly, that have never seen the show to make money. But I think now, as years have gone on, and this is, I would say the same for video game films and comic book films now, is that studios are now looking at the source material and trying to make it as close, you know, taking that and making it as close of an adaptation as possible while still doing something new for people that have never seen it.
That's why I'm glad you brought up the last Ghost of the Shell film, because while, yes, it didn't do well in the box office, if people gave it a shot, it's actually very, it's very well done aesthetically towards
what the original, source material was.
Got everything right in that movie.
If you look at the comics, it's fucking spot on. If you look at the show, it's spot on. The thing that I've done panels about live action adaptations, and I always bring this one up, and I ask for audience participation because I love people getting in. I love debating it with people. I will go, okay, so everybody's mad about Scarlett Johansson playing the Major. Well, she's not Japanese. Well, Shiro's even said that she's been in different bodies. Like, she's been in so many different bodies that nobody knows if she, it doesn't matter, because nobody knows if she was really you know, what her original body looked like. And I go, but everybody's pissed off because she was played by Scarlett Johansson, who was white, but nobody's really pissed off that Edward and the Elric brothers.
Yes.
Were played by, Edward Elric was played by a Japanese dude in a shitty blonde wig. They're German. Like that, they were German. That, like all of Full Metal Alchemist is in a very Germanic fucking country.
Yes.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, is that, yes, I think that, well, not the funny thing, but the sad thing about the whole Ghost in the Shell adaptation was that it was never given a chance to succeed because it was riddled with controversy the moment it was announced because Scarlett Johansson was taking the lead. And the thing that makes this even worse is that, for the most part, Japanese audiences didn't give a fuck. Yeah. They didn't care that Scarlett Johansson wasn't Japanese. It was the racist United States that likes to, they like to pick up every cause that's not theirs. Well, the United States is what destroyed this movie because the folks in Japan were interviewed and they're like, what? Is this a real question? Like, you guys are mad about this in the US?
And a lot of those people that they interviewed that they asked in Japan what they thought about it, they said, as long as she's good.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
And
so I'm just hoping something doesn't happen to One Punch Man because we love to create controversy and the controversies always destroy these movies.
Yeah.
Well, that's why like the live adaptation of Akira is taking so long because everybody's like, and it's like, look,
well, there was problems that DiCaprio was the producer of that. Yeah. He owns the IP right now the right to make the movie right now. And people are upset that a white man owns the option. That's the word I was looking for. That a white man owns the option for this film.
Like,
who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares? As long as you're
I think everybody should give it a shot. I mean, if he went so long without winning a fucking award and, putting out, fucking blockbuster performances, that's like, look, guys, if he's going to fucking put as much heart and like soul into like getting this film made as he does his fucking like roles that he's in.
Yeah.
Like give it a fucking shot, mm-hmm. But we won't know until it's made. But everybody's already judging it.
So. Everyone judges it.
Can you imagine having an Akira live action? Holy shit,
oh dude! God. The one thing I want to see, and this is when I saw Akira as a kid, I wanted that fucking bike.
Yeah,
I wanted that bike everybody. So goddamn bad. Like I started like when I got old enough to like start learning how to drive. I started looking up articles on people who've like tried to make the bike, and I'm like, fuck! I'll see if I can buy it. Fuck it.
Moment we see that in live action form. I can see it now. Let's say the movie finally gets greenlit. The first thing, the first image they're going to release
is the bike.
What they're going
to
do.
The best way to start promoting that film is to recreate the iconic poster where it's Kaneda walking to the fucking bike.
Yeah.
And if they recreate that bike perfectly in that whole scene,
they got to win.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Like that, they've already won.
Kaneda walking to the bike and Tetsuo sitting on the throne.
Special effects there. Now for Tetsuo is going to be amazing. But moving on to our final article, and this is why I was happy that, one, David, you were here and Mike, you were joining us as well, is this basically talks about how expensive was it to be an anime fan in the 90s versus now.
Oh, my God.
So, I think these people that wrote this article listen to our show.
Yeah,
because I read this article. I'm like, wait a second. This is exactly like almost word for word of some of the things we actually talked about.
Yeah,
I think we might have inspired this article,
which is funny because now it's just like
it's recycling.
So, when I read it, I'm like, fuck, this like so much of this is true.
Yeah,
because now you have Funimation, you have Crunchyroll, you have High Dive, you have all these streaming services that are coming out or that are already out. And Crunchyroll is $6.95 per month. Funimation is $7.95. Or they have a cheaper version if you just want subtitles only.
So what is that, like $35?
No, so Funimation is $7.95.
Altogether.
Oh, altogether. So Crunchyroll and Funimation, that's $13, like $13, yes. $14. If you pay for a full year, it's more, but month to month, it's about $15, maybe $20, depending on what level of Funimation you get.
So $14 a month to pretty much have an entire library of anime that would have cost us to have that exact same library.
If you
more than a mortgage for a home,
yeah, Absolutely. if you look at it, where depending on who the company was that was producing the VHS tapes, you were looking at between $20 to almost $30.
Yeah, or and even then, $50 if it was limited.
But also too, that came down to if it was limited, if it was a film, if it, you know, was subtitled, if it was dubbed, if it had more than one episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
For those listening and not understanding, when we say more than one episode, the VHS tapes would have one, maybe two episodes on it.
If you were lucky,
if the company was smart enough to put two on there, you were paying more than $20. Yeah. You were paying almost 30, sometimes 30. Again, it depended on who the company was.
$50 or $60 for one cassette a few times.
And this is why I bootlegged a lot of
that. Right. But David, how much did you pay for a set of blank tapes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So you paid blank VHS tapes and packed what, four? Three or four bucks. Yeah. If you got, you know, the nice ones, they were maybe $10,
yeah,
you know, a little bit more. And then you had to pay for shipping to the guy that was going to sit there and record the episodes for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to, pay that person as well. So you're looking at it now. And then two VHS box sets.
Yes.
Those are at minimum $100.
And when I started getting big into collecting the anime box sets. But like when I got big into collecting anime, when I had a job, it was insane. And you'd have to sometimes fight to actually make sure.
Yeah, you had to not only fight, but you had to, like, if you knew the release date of the tapes,
you had to be there.
You had to be there. You'd have to run down to Suncoast Video.
Yep.
For those of us that remember Suncoast Video, you had to run down. You had to be there at fucking open to fight other anime fans to get it, and especially with Evangelion.
Yes.
You had to fucking fight. If you were like, I'm getting nothing but subtitled, you had to fight to get subtitled.
Subtitled.
And literally, if you went and subtitle was gone, you bought dubbed.
Yeah.
You're just like, fuck it, I don't have time to wait. I want to know what happens.
I hated myself too.
Oh yeah.
I was motherfucker, I got a dub tape.
Yeah, and I
fucking hate myself right now.
I look back and I always feel like, man, I was like acting like a little fucking spoiled brat. And like, I would get tapes for Christmas or my birthday, and it would be a dub, like, fuck, I don't want dubbed.
Yeah, same here.
I said subtitled. Yeah. You didn't listen. This is fucking bullshit.
We're all the same nerd. My mom thought she was doing something so nice for me. She's all, I saw you eyeballing that anime for a couple weeks. Every time you go to the mall, I decided to buy it for you. Oh, thanks, mom.
And then you go to watch it.
She walks away. I look. I'm like, mom, it's fucking dumb. How could you do this to me?
But the thing is, like, you never really yelled at them directly because
they wouldn't understand anyway.
Yeah, so you say it so quietly, or you go to your room and you scream into your pillow. It's not subtitled. It's not the same.
Oh, dude
they don't understand. Non-anime fans don't get it. They're like, why would you want to listen to it in Japanese? Like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, oh, it makes sense.
I remember me and my oldest friend who got into anime collecting with me. And it's so funny because on his birthday, on his birthday, he got like the entire set of Evangelion, right? From his parents. We're talking all those freaking tapes in one box set.
Yeah.
And that costs like probably $200-$300.
$300, yeah.
And he opens it like, oh, cool, we can watch it all over again. And I look at it and says, hey, it's dubbed. And then he absolutely like lost his mind and was like, this is bullshit, and started throwing the tapes across the room.
And then he murdered his mother. It's a very sad story.
And I think about it now, I'm like, yeah, we were very passionate. Anime fans get really passionate.
That's really what drove the Mendez brothers to kill their family was, you know,
they just get,
they
like
got, they got,
subtitled.
They got one dub tape.
It's, you know, it's actually debatable that all crimes of passion actually stemmed from some asshole in your family
buying a dub tape when you were a kid.
I mean, the real story.
Our mental health is because we had to settle for dub sometimes. And the shitty thing is,
the reason why Nicole Brown Simpson got stabbed by OJ was because she bought him a dubbed tape.
OJ's like, bitch, bought me a dub tape.
Bitch, I'll kill you.
Bitch, I wear isotoners. You think I need to watch a dub tape?
Give me that Japanese language, bitch.
You missed Sucky Sucky Love You Long Time, motherfucker.
Became Mr. T now for some reason.
But back then, dubbed was, it wasn't good.
Oh, dubbed was like,
that's so F that's word. to clarify for the newer listeners, the younger different. Listeners of the show.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, dubbed was shit.
Dubbed was crap.
And it's nothing, and it's not against the voice actors, because a lot of voice actors that were around then are still around doing great shows now. But it's when they did it, they're like, ooh, yeah, sorry for this. We don't know about this, because we can like maybe get this to teens, maybe adults, but let's change the story a little bit, make it a little bit more kid-friendly.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this there's no kid-friendly about a lot of these shows. Like Ranma One Half, nothing kid-friendly. But along with VHS tapes being, you know, 19 to, you know, 20 to 30 bucks, manga as well was, before they started releasing, you know, whole volumes, you had to buy them as a comic book that had maybe a couple of chapters in it. And so those were anywhere, depending on who was publishing it, was $2 to $4.
Volume one of Ghost in the Shell, the manga, was $190.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had those you had those ones like where they're like, oh, we're going to put it all out as a graphic novel. And then you're paying $40 sometimes, like back in that day.
Dude, or even the original Shonen Jump. Shonen Jump, when that came out, you'd have like pieces of the story, pieces of the manga that you'd be reading. And then you'd have other manga, which sounds great. But then, you know, like when you think about how much you'd have to buy magazine wise just to collect and just even one story.
Dude, it's way more expensive than it is now.
Because now you can like Crunchyroll has Crunchyroll Library, which you can read a lot of manga on. You have other services. You have a lot of fan sub sites. Like you have Manga Rock, you have Manga Bird. You have all these sites that have translated manga that they put up that fans have done. And you have so much access to it now. Back in the day, it was like, well, shit. All right, I really want to read, you know, Fushigi Yugi. All right, I'm going to pay $4 a piece. Or like for me, I was trying to collect the entire Guyver series.
Oh my god,
that was a pain in the ass because I had I always had bits and pieces that span from the beginning of the story to the middle to the fucking end. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it's like some weird shit's been happening. So I don't know what happens from like this chapter, like the end of this book to the beginning of this book, but some weird shit fucking happens now. There's like two new Guyvers.
Can we bring that back, please? Can we get a reboot series?
Guyver was amazing.
They did a reboot series late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. They also did a movie with Mark Hamill in it. It was terrible.
Which is funny because as a kid, when I saw the anime first and I saw there was a live action, I was like, oh, sweet. And I watched them like, the fuck is this?
No,
like I was just happy to see like a live action version of the suit.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, and then there's the second live action film.
Yes.
Which somehow took place in the woods. Dark
Guyver.
Yeah. I don't know. And yeah. I'm just like, the fuck is going on here? And I'm like, but I watched them because I wanted to watch as much Guyver shit as possible because I couldn't find any more episodes because either Blockbuster Video didn't have any more of the tapes, or they weren't getting them in yet, or Suncoast didn't have what I needed.
Yeah.
So the amount of money we collectively spent
is ridiculous.
In the early days of the VHS days of anime, all three of us could have bought two homes.
Yeah.
Or one, or you know, each bought a home three times over
easily, because this article is trying to compare the two. And I'm like, there is no comparison, because they're saying, well, anime is an expensive hobby now as well because of figurines and collectibles. But you're including collectibles.
But even like back in the day, like collectibles were way more.
Exactly. I had Final Fantasy 7 figures.
Final Fantasy? I didn't know there was a Final Fantasy.
So stupid. Final Fantasy 7 figures that was made for the manga that came out during the success of the game. I'm like, I'm going to buy those. Those are cool. And in the catalog, it said $7. No,
that was a fucking lie.
No, it was $29.99. That's what it was.
$7 was shipping.
When it was all said and done, one figurine cost me $90 to ship here.
I mean, Greg, you remember our times at Atomic. I used to collect the anime figures like crazy, especially the female ones.
Yeah. Well, no, any figure. So for those listeners, any figures that the three of us bought back in the 90s. Now, if you look at the same like size character, whether it's posable or it's just a statue. What we paid back in the day was hundreds of dollars. To are now like it's un- like there's a lot. There are a lot of them that are under 100.
Under 100 now.
But if you import them from Japan, you're going to pay around that price. But because you're importing it, you're having somebody else, you know, either find it, it for you, or you're having a store that is mainly in Japan. That's like, hey, we'll ship worldwide, but you got to pay customs. You got to pay, you know, a VAT tax, you know, so the figures are still kind of, you know, depending on where you get them and you know, whatnot, they're still around the same, but it's not as scarce as it was back in the 90s.
Yeah.
No, because I mean, if you wanted to find like a Ghost in the Shell figure, if you wanted to find any Final Fantasy, you want Dragon Ball.
Yep.
Any mech figures, not Gundam, any mech figures. I remember buying a figure from Macross 7. It's a stealth bomber, Valkyrie fighter.
Yeah.
That was $80 as a
$80
kid.
Right there.
And that was in a shop down in Sierra Vista, which is where my grandparents lived, which is an hour and a half south of Tucson. And the guy was surprised that I knew what it was. And I was probably like 10, 11, I think, is when Macross 7 came out.
And the hilarious thing, that is why I am a pirate. Because whenever I not only bootlegged VHS tapes, like I use the advantage of going to the Philippines once a year to bring back
anime
stuff.
Oh, no, I know. Because you bring me back shit and you brought me back a Naruto backpack, which was sealed in a fucking like sealed plastic bag from the factory that had fucking condoms in it.
Yeah.
And like, I like how you just say, yeah, like it's a fucking normal thing.
Oh, you know, yeah. What's odd about that? He's almost odd about that, Greg.
No, because it was a sealed bag from the factory. So like, yeah. It was in a plastic bag from the factory. So like they and so it was, they were in there and it wasn't like they were thrown in there. There was an inside pocket.
Were they
that
used?
Was, no,
oh,
they were, they were, it wasn't like they were just thrown in there. They were in the little zipper pocket inside the bag and the pocket was zipped over. So somebody took the time to put them in there and zip up the fucking pouch.
Yeah. And I'm like going, that's the reason why I would buy stuff overseas and just bring it back with me.
Oh, yeah. But the funny thing is having to explain that to my wife going, why are there condoms in there? Fucking, I don't know. But that's the thing. And then that's
because
that's
fucking. Right? That's why. Come on now.
We're going to fuck now. That's why. God, I hope she doesn't listen to this episode. But that's the thing is that for us back in the day, that's why we started tape trading.
Yeah.
Because we could easily buy a set of tapes and mail them to somebody who did who did fan subs.
Can we just call it theft? That's the main
thing.
That's why we started stealing.
We were circumventing, you know, we were supporting but also circumventing the anime industry in the 90s. But the shitty thing is that we circumvented it, but we also supported it because we're like, well, shit, because this guy no longer does the fan sub, so I have to find somebody new.
He got arrested.
I don't know anybody else now. But the article, like comparing them, it's like there's streaming services now. There's so many companies that now stream anime, and it's not just Crunchyroll and Funimation. It's Netflix. It's Hulu. There's a shit ton on Amazon now. Like you have to look for it, but it's there.
It's there.
And that's the thing is that what's so great about it now is that if there's a show that I really like, I'll buy the Blu-ray for it. Yeah. I'll buy merchandise for it. I mean, I love fucking yeah, I do. We've already fucking covered that. Boku no Hero or My Hero Academia.
Yes.
I'll buy merch for that all day long because I can go watch this. I've bought the movies. I can go watch the series on Funimation. And I can rewatch as much as I want. I bought two new manga today on iBooks. The first two volumes in an Arrow manga series. That's erotic manga for you, Mike. And it's called Destiny Lovers. And it's all about a guy who promised himself to this girl as a kid. Yes. I have to explain what it is first so he promised it. And then he gets kidnapped. And then now he's like in this prison where there's three super hot chicks. And then he finds out the warden of this prison is the girl that he promised himself to. And they're trying to take his virginity. And then I think it's like four or five other dudes' virginity.
Yes.
And they say it's for the future and safety of humanity.
Of mankind.
You use the word try. I'm like, in reality, there would be no trying. The guys would just roll over and be like, all right, do it.
No, Mike, don't you believe in honor? Honor and loyalty.
But the thing is, like, he's like, no, I promised myself to her. I'm not going to fuck these other women. And I'm sitting there reading this and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, no. I'd be like, yeah, no, she's putting her tits in my face. She's put my dick in her mouth. Yep, we're going. This is done. This is a done deal.
Where are those condoms at?
Fuck the condom. She's like, I want it raw, but take it.
She's like, but Greg, I have AIDS. It's okay.
Hey, you know what?
In the heat of the moment.
If it's for the if it's for the future and safety of mankind, I'll take it.
We'll take this hit.
So
I like how like David throws himself into the story now. You're like, we'll
take this.
We'll hit. Do this. I'm your buddy, Greg. David, we'll do it together.
Up. I'm here too.
Support.
That just kills Greg's motor right there.
Just like, hey, Greg. And now it's for show. So, but I think what the great thing is that what we went through as anime fans helped build what anime is now as an industry.
Yeah.
I think it allowed companies like Funimation, Crunchyroll to flourish and to come to pass because there's a growing demand for anime.
Yeah.
So, you know, 2020 has kind of been a shit year for anime and for everybody in general. Conventions have been canceled. Shows have been postponed. Movies have been postponed. Video games. Not a lot of video games. I mean, a lot of ones that are already done are coming
they
out. Still,
pushed, but yeah.
But, you know, to wrap it all up, I think 2021 is going to be something really rad for anime. David, Mike, I thank you guys for being in the studio with me today. Thank you all to the listeners for continually supporting us. Again, you can check us out on RainmanDigital.com, RainmanDigitalMedia.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Am I missing any of the other any of them, Mike?
No.
Check us out. Support us. We're on Instagram, Facebook. Like I said, we'll be posting that link to the Evangelion films. They go until April 30th. Definitely check them out. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you next time on Otaku. Again, I'm Gregory Darkside Holmes.